From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Melissa Block. Today, Iraq's interim prime minister, Iyad Alawi, acknowledged for the first time that some parts of his country will be too unsafe to vote in this month's election. The vote is scheduled to go forward on January 30th, despite increasing insurgent attacks. At least 13 people were killed just today. From Baghdad, NPR's Lourdes Garcia-Navarro has this report on the mechanics and politics of the upcoming election.
At this school in the central Baghdad district of Karada, young girls chat and laugh as they file out of their morning classes. Come January 30th, schools will be used for most of Iraq's over 6,000 polling stations. Because of the fears of attacks, the Election Commission has not yet announced which ones will be used. The principal of this school says that over the past week, though, she's had some unusual visitors, so she believes her institution will be among those chosen. I was not officially informed, she says, but the Americans have come to this school several times. They've taken the address, the telephone numbers. They've filmed everything, she says. Assessments are underway across Iraq to come up with tailored security plans for each location. This particular school is on a narrow residential street, which has been blocked off at each end. Some other possible polling centers have already been attacked. There are around 14 million eligible voters in Iraq. When they arrive at polling stations on January 30th between 7 a.m. and 5 p.m., according to officials, they'll go through security checks. They will then be handed two ballots. One will be for the 275-seat national parliament. It will be around 12 inches by 16 inches in size. Each name and logo will be pictured beside a box which voters will tick in pen. There are 111 individuals, parties, and coalitions in the running. The order of the names was determined by lottery. The second ballot will be for provincial councils. In Kurdistan, voters will receive a third ballot for a Kurdish National Council. Farida Yar is the Election Commission spokesman. He says there will be private booths where the secrecy of the vote will be guaranteed.
There is a curtain. He will go there. It is closed. There is a light. There is a small table. He can read. He can think.
But who will people be voting for? Voter education has been sorely lacking so far, and campaigning has been minimal. But on Baghdad's busy streets, posters are popping up in certain areas. By far the most prominent is the one belonging to the main Shiite list, the Iraqi National Alliance. A recent poll said that the National Alliance is expected to capture at least 27% of the seats. Some of the other main players are interim Prime Minister Iyad Alawi's group called the Iraqis, not to be confused with interim President Ghazi Aliyawar's the Iraqi Coalition. The Kurdish list, which is a union of Kurdistan's two main parties, are expected to do well too. Many of the campaign posters, though, belong to smaller groups which are struggling to get their message across. They only identify themselves by their number on the ballot. Number 220, for example, declares, "We are coming to achieve safety and build Iraq." Number 258 proclaims, "Oil for development and the prosperity of the people." To talk about the upcoming elections, Iraqis are going virtual. The internet was restricted before Saddam Hussein was ousted, but now chat rooms are the new rage. In between the ubiquitous ones named Sexy Boys and Girls and Love Tonight, there are rooms clearly targeted at those who want to talk about the situation here. A man called Ibn al-Iraq, or Son of Iraq, says, "The most important thing are elections." Mossa 727 replies, "Everyone should vote. It's the first time it will be allowed." Abu Saddam disagrees. "The most important thing is to kick out the Americans. After that, we can hold elections." Rocky asks, "Who should I vote for? I have no idea who any of them are. I don't even know if I'm registered." Dr. Ahmad says, "I'm afraid to go with my family to vote." This cyber world reflects the confusion in the real one. Before the war, Iraqis were forced to go and vote, and they would be presented with only one name on polling day, Saddam Hussein's. In this election, for the first time, they're trying to find the answers for themselves. Lourdes Garcia-Navarro, NPR News, Baghdad.